إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. فما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters, we are on the issue of disagreeing without being disagreeable. And yesterday we spoke about the issue of correcting somebody if there is a need to correct. I want to mention a little bit more about that today. The first and foremost thing as far as correction is concerned is first to understand what two things. First of all, to understand what the other person's point of view is, because in conflict resolution many times it happens that when you actually sit face to face and talk to somebody and understand them, try to understand them, the whole issue is that when you are listening to somebody, usually unless you train your mind to listen before responding, when you are listening to somebody and that person is saying something which is contradicting your own position, belief, understanding, then the mind automatically starts manufacturing a response without completely listening to what the other person has to say. So you take in half the information or a little bit of the information and listening stops and the mind starts creating a response. So when the response is given, the response is inappropriate, the response does not match because you haven't heard the full side of the story. So this is called active listening, where you we teach this as a conflict resolution tool, where you consciously train yourself to de-link the two, listening and responding, two different processes. They are not linked, they are not together. So you first listen, completely understand, and then you respond. There is no urgency to immediately respond. Nothing is going to happen, there is no fire that has to be put out. And makes a lot of sense, because even if I want to completely disagree with somebody, if I am interested in refuting somebody's argument, then the only way that you can refute an argument is by understanding that argument. You can't refute an argument that you have not understood. So in active listening we do two things. Firstly, we say listen completely and then share with the other person what you have understood. So it's not a matter of repeating the words. It's a matter of saying, this is how I understood you. Is it correct? So for example, if you tell me something, like you asked me, for example, yesterday there was some noise outside. Was there some conflict or was there a problem? So I repeat that back to you. I say, you want to know whether I know about this noise that happened outside. Is that what you are asking? Right? So I repeat back to you. I am not repeating your words. I am reflecting back to you my understanding of what you said. Now this is a very powerful tool. I have used it in management union wage negotiations. I have used it in some very serious conflict situations in India, in Guyana. And it's very powerful, it works wonderfully well, because what happens is that it forces both parties to completely slow down their process and understand what the other person is trying to say. And when you reflect back and say, this is how I understand you, two things happen. One is that it gives the other person a feeling of comfort that you are taking enough trouble to understand what they are saying, number one. Number two, it also puts that argument to the other person in your perspective. And I have actually seen this happening, that once a person repeated this, they said, well, there is no argument. We also believe the same. So the conflict got resolved without any effort, just by listening to the other person properly. That's all. So I think this is a very important skill to learn and a very important skill to consciously practice. especially in a conflictful situation, especially when you are talking to somebody about something that has a potential for disagreement. So this is called active listening. Having done that, then you say, all right, so therefore my response is such and such. I disagree with you on this aspect. Now, in that disagreement, it is extremely important to keep track of and keep in mind and make sure that you are only speaking about the issue. Do not get involved with people and personalities. Only the issue. So, if I am disagreeing with somebody, if I am having this, I have listened to the argument, I have responded, I said, this is how I understand you, alhamdulillah. Now, this is my response, and the response must refer only to the issue. The response must not go to the person and say, what kind of a person are you? Can't you understand a simple thing like this? You know, are you intelligent, not intelligent? No, none of that. No, do not attack the individual. Do not criticize another person. The problem with that, if you don't do that, if you criticize the person or if you attack the person, then what happens is that the person gets so affected, and especially, you know, may Allah protect us, sometimes out of all this righteous anger which we have, we say things much more strongly than we should say them. Maybe you might use some language which you should not use. All this happens spontaneously. You haven't thought about it. But the effect is very bad. So the other person then gets so involved in feeling bad about what happened that whatever good you might have done by explaining and so on, that is all lost completely. Because the person is feeling offended, they are feeling angry, they are feeling hurt and God knows what. And with the result that their own understanding and listening is zero now. So all the good that you might have done gets completely wasted. One of the most beautiful stories about this from the Seerah, which illustrates this thing which I just explained, is from the time when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, immediately after Fatah Makkah, was going to Taif. So this is the battle that happened between the Banu Sakhif and the Hawazim, who were helping them, of Taif, and the army of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which came from Makkah. Now this Makkah army was peculiar in the respect that this was the first time that the Muslims had an army of that size. There were 10,000 soldiers and they were properly armed. But one of the things was that the majority of that army was people who had just come into Islam just then at Fatah Makkah. So they were not people who had been under the tarbiyah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or under the tarbiyat or the tutelage of any of the senior sahaba. So these people just came into Islam, just like that, after Fatah Makkah. These are the people who Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam freed, and they were called At-Tulaqa, the freed slaves of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because that's what happened to them. Instead of being enslaved, they were freed after Fatah Makkah. So these people were there. Now at one point, the army camped, and Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu called the Adhan. And when he called the Adhan, there was a group of young Makkan youngsters who were from, you might say, aristocratic families, who were sitting there, and they saw Sayyidina Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu making Adhan. And they started making fun of him. And somebody says, who's this crow, and so on. And Sayyidina Bilal was Habashi, he was African. So they used bad language in that sense, and they made fun of him and they mocked him. Now this is happening in the army camp. So someone came and reported this to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They said, this is what they are doing. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, bring them here, call them here. So now these people, there were 5-6 of them, they were called, and they were rounded up and brought to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now imagine the situation here. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the commander of the army. There is a whole army. These 5-6 people, 7 people, whatever they were caught making fun and mocking Sayyidina Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu when he was making Adhan. So they came Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, sit down. They sat down. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this is what I heard you were doing. They said, Ya Rasulullah, yes, we did, we are sorry. He said, which one of you was the foremost? Who was the leader of you? So there was one of them called Abu Mahdura. So they said, Abu Mahdura was our leader. Which means that he was the one who was abusing Sayyidina Bilal the most. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to him, come here, come close. Now imagine Abu Mahdura's frame of mind at that time, what he must have thought. That this is the end, and now Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is going to order my head to be chopped or something, you know, Allah Alam. Because it is the army, they are on the march, this is rebellion. It's not a small thing, it's a very serious thing. And you are mocking one of the akabirin of the Sahaba, Sayyidina Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu, it's not a small matter. And you are mocking him in the matter of making adhan, and you are making racist remarks about him. It's a lot of problems. So Abu Mahdura wallahu alam, he came forward and he sat down. So now this is the Nabi correcting a man who has committed this kind of a fault. What does Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do? Does he abuse him? Does he curse him? He could have done anything. He could have abused him, cursed him, thrashed him, imprisoned him, chopped his neck. I mean, there was no... He could have done absolutely anything he wanted, and there was no one to stop him, and he had full authority to do any of that. What does he do? He said, do you want me to teach you how to make adhan? He's saying to this youngster, do you want me to teach you how to make adhan? So Abu Mahdura at that time, whatever Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he would have said yes. So he said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, please teach me. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then taught him how to make adhan. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, repeat after me. And he said the words of the adhan, Allahu Akbar, 4 times. And Abu Mahdura repeated. And then he said, Ashadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, Hayyal al-Salah, Hayyal al-Falah. Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, the full adhan. And in one narration, it comes that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam repeated, Ashadu an la ilaha illallah, and Ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, 4 times each. We do normally 2. He said 4 times each, and Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah took that as the adhan. So the Shafi'i adhan comes with 4 times. Ashadu an la ilaha illallah and Ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. So that's on a side note. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then repeated. And this man, he repeated this whole adhan. Now see the effect of this kind of correction. Ye ho gaya, it's finished. Then Abu Mahdura says, Ya Rasulullah, Bilal bin Rabah is your muazzin in Medina. Make me your muazzin in Makkah. Okay? Here is a man who was abusing Bilal radiallahu anhu, who was mocking Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, Bilal bin Rabah is your muazzin in Medina. Make me your muazzin in Makkah. And the historians say that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes, you are my muazzin in Makkah. From now onwards, you are the muazzin from Masjid al-Haram. The historians say that Abu Mahdura, Allah gave him a very long life. He lived to be almost 100 years old. And they say that every salah, he would come, he would make tawaf of the Kaaba, he would pray 2 rakat of salah, and he would call the adhan for his whole life. Hajib. That's why I keep saying that the seerah is something to be studied. Is to be studied very carefully, because seerah gives us. Now today, when we have a issue with somebody, and you feel strongly about it, and you want to correct and this and that, go back to the seerah and see how did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam correct people. Now imagine if you do this kind of correction, is it at all possible that you can ever have a problem with anybody? Impossible. I mean, that person will fall in love with you. They're, wallah, this man, this is how he corrected me. And that is what happened with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. People came to Islam because they fell in love with Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. people did not come to Islam because of some theological point or argument or discussion. Or they came to Islam because they loved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why I always say, if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whatever he preached, they accepted because of who was doing it and because of how he did it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to live our lives according to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and make that a source of خير النور in our lives. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رحمة الله.